Good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. I am your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Roberto Rojas, and special guest tonight, Mr. Youssef Amin, creator of Racing Club in English and the creator of tactical content on Total Football, as we break down Egypt on their journey to glory in the 2018 World Cup in Russia. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining me tonight. Youssef, I'd like to start out with you first and ask you your connections to Egypt and Egyptian football for the listeners.
So I'm actually Egyptian. I was born in Egypt. I lived in Kuwait till I was 9, but I moved back to Egypt, so it's my home country. I've been following Egyptian football since I've been here, so for about 6 or 7 years. And of course, it's lovely to see us back in the World Cup again after a very long absence.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. Heading into my next section real quick is obviously, you know, the famous victory over the Congo a couple of months ago with the Mohamed Salah penalty. You know, as myself, Youssef, you know, I know a lot of Egyptian people here in my city here in the United States. And, you know, I think they were absolutely happy and they're really excited to finally see their team back into a World Cup after, I believe it's now 28 years. Yes, 1990 was the last time they made it to the World Cup. One of the only two times they've made it. 1934, they finished in the first round, and 1990, they finished in the group stage. So just talking to you real quick, obviously you being in Egypt as well, you know, how has the reaction been so far, especially given the circumstances that they made it to a World Cup after so many years? You know, what's been the vibe and the expectations for this team heading into the World Cup in Russia this summer?
I'd say happy is too little of a word to describe the feeling of all Egyptians. Everybody's really happy to be back again, really ecstatic to be back in this tournament. And you should have seen it after we won. Every single person was out in the streets celebrating and up till 3 a.m. in the morning. Yeah, everybody's excited to be back here. Sadly, our continental domination never seems to translate into the World Cup qualification, but we have a chance to prove ourselves in the biggest stage in the world.
Now, I'd like to look at how they arrived at Russia. The Egyptian national team finished first in Group E. I know we've talked about what region is the most difficult to qualify for in the World Cup, and many would point to South America as the toughest region to qualify out of to get to any World Cup. But for me, I think that CAF, the African Confederation, really offers a very difficult path because of five different groups. You only have one team coming from each group. So Egypt, obviously the best in Group E, suffered their only loss to Uganda on the road in qualifying, and did have to best what many consider to be a difficult Ghana team in this group, which actually Ghana finished third to Uganda in qualifying in this group. So my question to you, Youssef, is did Egypt get challenged in this group, given that Ghana was probably not their best offering? Or was Uganda a much, much better side that many people know them to be?
I think there were a lot of internal problems with the Ghanaian Federation, which translated into a lot of chaos on the field. So probably were two easy games against Ghana, which were not expected at all, because they were obviously expected to be our main challenges. Uganda were more of a good disciplined side than a good footballing side. In terms of quality, we were miles ahead, but they stuck to the game plan and they gave us a hard game in both games, but we eventually got through, thankfully.
You know, and now we're going into the nitty-gritty, and now it's for them to finally test their dominance as being that powerhouse from Africa that we've been so accustomed to for many years. Looking into the group that they are in real quick, they are with the host Russia, they are with Saudi Arabia, and they're with Uruguay. Three opponents that, you know, many people feel that they're going to make this group very, very close to call for all four of these teams, even Saudi Arabia, you know, who I think are one of the lowest-ranked teams heading into this World Cup. But just going into real quick, and I'll ask this to Joe as well, heading into my next question. You know, they have three games going in order. They take on Uruguay on the 15th to open it out. Then they take on Russia on the 19th. And then they finish it off with Saudi Arabia on the 25th. Youssef, real quick, I mean, looking at this group, I mean, being the Egyptian supporter that you are, what team, what would you feel would be the toughest to play this Egyptian side? Or at least what side, what team do you feel that Egypt will have a hard time playing against? Or even view it as its most important game heading into this World Cup?
Probably a very easy question. That has to be Uruguay. The individual quality they have is just unbelievable. They're easily the best side in the league, in the group, in terms of player depth and quality. And also they have a pretty good manager in Tabarez, who I rate highly. I think they'll go far in this competition, at least the quarterfinals. And I think it'll be hard to match them, especially with their star quality, especially up top with Edinson Cavani and Luis Suarez.
Yeah, that was totally. And Joe, I mean, I'll go back to you. I mean, what a battle between that, Luis Suarez and Cavani against the Mohamed Salah, both three strikers who are on fire for their teams in Europe.
Absolutely. And the great thing about this is that we're going to get that match very, very early in this competition on the second day. Obviously, Russia opened the competition against Saudi Arabia to open the entire tournament on June 14th. But then right after, the very next day, we're going to see this particular match take shape. And I think it's a stern challenge for Uruguay, given the fact that, we have a good Egyptian side that has the strength of Mohamed Salah. It's going to be very difficult to keep him under wraps. And we saw what he did in qualifying, you know, carrying this Egyptian side was the top goal scorer in the entire competition. Mo Salah was the top goal scorer in the competition. So it's going to be very difficult for them to keep them off the sheet and get through there. And I think it's a great litmus test for both teams moving forward, because I think these are going to be the two teams that move through this group, which we can talk about in a few minutes. Now, Youssef, I want to go back and I want to look at some of the players to watch in this group, in this competition, and on this team. I know everybody wants to talk about Mohamed Salah, but let's put him on the back burner for the minute, because I want to talk about Essam El Hadri, the goalkeeper from Al Taoun. If he does make this team and go to the World Cup and play, he will become the oldest player to ever play in the World Cup. I believe there was a Colombian goalkeeper, Mondragon, who previously held the record at 43 years old.
2010, yes.
Yep, so Al-Hadri at 45 years old would be that one. I'd like your thoughts on Al-Hadri making this team, and possibly starting for the Egyptian team.
Oh, yeah, so I think he's probably going to start. He wasn't even going to start in the African Cup of Nations. Ahmed Shinawi, the Zamalek keeper, was the preferred option. But then he got injured, and Al-Hadri got his chance, and he took it with both his hands. Now Al-Shinawi is undergoing very bad form with his club, a club in turmoil. So, and I think Al-Hadri will get his chance again in the World Cup, and I think he'll be the starting goalkeeper for the World Cup.
Oh, wow.
That will obviously be very remarkable.
Absolutely. It'll be something to see. And certainly a marking moment in this World Cup. And as Rob has pointed out to me, he's only a few months younger than me. Thanks for making me feel old, Rob. now, one thing I want to, before I even get to Mo Salah, I'd like to talk about the head coaching situation. It's not a topic that we bring up much in the player profile section, but I think it bears some weight here. Currently, Egypt is coached by Hector Cooper, the Argentinian, who's also coached in Spain, Italy, and Argentina. And since 2000, the Egyptian national team has had seven different managers. Four of them have been Egyptian, and three have been foreigners. Tardelli from Italy, Cooper now, and, of course, Michael Bradley from the United States. Do the Egyptian players and fans prefer a foreign manager, or would they rather a homegrown manager or an Egyptian manager?
I think I'd have to say it's an Egyptian manager. The most liked manager in Egyptian football history is probably Hassan Shahata, despite the fact that he never got us to World Cup, but he undergone complete domination in the continental stage, and he played some beautiful football. I think despite getting us to the World Cup, Cooper still gets his fair share of criticism due to his negative style of play, which is seen as not suiting to a team of our standard, who are probably one of the best in the continent, but we play some like counter attacking football, and that's not liked by a lot of people in Egypt. His team selections are also a bit off sometimes. So, yeah, all eyes will be on him. Any bad move, and I think it will be gone after the tournament.
Interesting. Now, let's get to the Mo Salah part of this, because really the way this Egyptian team has gone, for the most part, it's been Mo Salah, Mo Salah, Mo Salah. He scored five of their eight goals in World Cup qualifying in the group stages there. So, I would also consider this as to asking you a player who we might discover in this World Cup, but who does the Egyptian national team go to if it's not going to be Mo Salah?
I'd say it will be Abdullah Saeed. He's a creative number 10 and plays in behind the striker in the 4-2-3-1 formation we normally employ. So he's a very great creative player. He's not the quickest, but he has a very intelligent football brain. He has good vision, good passing, and I think he's a good player. But yeah, if Salah doesn't show up, then I'm sorry, but we will have zero chance. Our game plan is basically long vertical ball in behind the defence into Mo Salah, and then he just does the rest. So I think any team with adequate defending would be able to stop us easily. So I'm a bit worried, to be honest.
Now, Abdallah Saeed is a 32-year-old midfielder currently playing at Al Ahly in, I believe that is in Kuwait. In Egypt. Sorry about that.
No, in Egypt. It's the biggest club in Egypt.
At 32 years old, does he possibly make a move to one of the European leagues, or do you see a player that could use this particular tournament to springboard himself into one of the top leagues in Europe?
I think 32 is a bit too old to be moving to Europe, but I think he can use this tournament to showcase his skills to one of the Khalij sides, which is basically the Gulf sides, UAE, Saudi Arabia. They offer much higher wages than the Egyptian football. So if he has a good tournament, then maybe he could get a final move over there to collect some money before he retires.
You know, just jumping in real quick to now in our next segment, and that's really just the predictions. Obviously, it's going to be too tough to really call this Egyptian side with a few months left in the World Cup. I think all eyes will be on Mohamed Salah as that main pivotal player that he's been so far for Liverpool, and even beforehand when he was in Italy with Roma and Fiorentina. But Youssef, real quick, for many people who maybe aren't familiar with Egypt, you know, what's one thing to expect from them? And also, if you can give me a starting 11 for this Egypt side heading into this group, what is it?
I say Hassan Al-Hadri in goal, Ahmed Fathi right back, the two West Brom defenders, Ali Gabri and Ahmed Hegazi, Mohamed Abdelshafi in left back, who's a complete liability, Tariq Hamid and Mohamed Nini from Arsenal, Abdullah Saeed, either Ramadan Sobhi or Trezeguet, Mohamed Salah, and then the striking position is really hard to predict. Probably alternates between three or four strikers, and he still hasn't decided on one yet, so I'd be hard to predict that.
And, you know, what's one thing to expect, you know, the style of play of this Egyptian side? I think everything's going to be fed up to this Mohamed Salah. But, you know, what's one thing to look out for in the way they play that many people are not expected of watching?
Even against inferior sides like Uganda, who still played with a deep block, defensive football, just try and get as much a solid defensive structure, compact, hard to break down, and then just try and get quick transitions forward for when we regain possession, quick transitions forward into the attacking phase. Most of our attacking play comes from a long vertical ball from one of the defenders into Mohamed Salah, and then the whole team pushes up. So I think I'd expect some good counter-attacking football, but sometimes it will be a bit boring.
Now, let's focus in on the future for this Egyptian national team. Looking at their group, obviously Group A, it's a group that I think can be had. It can be a difficult group in the fact that you're playing the host nation, and the host nation usually gets a boost from playing in front of their fans. You do have a very difficult team, two-time champion Uruguay, with two of the hottest strikers in the world, like we've talked about earlier. And we have an upstart Saudi Arabian side that could be a little difficult to manage. So initially, Youssef, what do you think is a successful tournament for this Egyptian national team?
I'm a bit more realistic than most Egyptian people here expect us to probably walk past Russia and Saudi Arabia. So I'd say finishing third would be respectable. If Russia didn't have the host advantage, then I think we should. I'd expect to win against them, but especially in their home turf with their fans, I think it would be hard to get a result against them. So I wouldn't be too dissatisfied with third place finish.
So in essence, the the tournament for them, really, by judging whether they advance into the knockout stages or finish third, is really going to hinge on that June 19th matchup against Russia, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's the most vital game. I think the Saudi game is going to be in danger of just being a dead rubber game with both teams eliminated. Uruguay game, I expect really little from it. So that Russia game is going to be the game that just changes our fortune. Either we go back home or we get into the knockout stages.
Very interesting. So, and as a final question to you, what does a World Cup title mean to the people of Egypt, to their fans, to their players? What kind of reaction could you expect out of Egypt from that?
I'd expect about 6 months holiday or something. you should have seen the reactions just when we qualified. Was about most countries' reactions when they won the World Cup. Football in this country means everything. A lot of people in this country are very poor, and they take it for solace in the national team. So yeah, everybody loves the national team. I don't think you find anyone who's not watching the games in the World Cup. Even every single person, children, women, old men, everybody. And we have coffee houses here, hours, like traditional, and people just gather to watch the game with their friends, with their family, and it's like a fun experience here. Everybody loves football in the World Cup.
I always enjoy the stories of how nations just absolutely stop as if time stands still for 90 minutes when these matches are played. I think it's a reflection of how big the sport is, that the sport around the world is not a sport. It's actually more like a religion, and descriptions of countries doing that type of thing or descriptions of a 6 month holiday with a World Cup trophy, I think are appropriate, and they're just a reflection on how soccer crazy the rest of the world is. So it would be a joy to watch something like that, especially for a new country, whether it be Egypt or somebody else new that would win this trophy, just to see the celebrations in that country would be amazing. So, gentlemen, I do want to thank you both for joining me tonight and helping me break down the Egyptian national team on their road in Group A of the 2018 World Cup. So for This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network, I am your host, Joe Uccello. Thanks for listening, and good night.